Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Monday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody had a great Easter weekend. Beautiful weather for it. And just a gorgeous weekend. So we welcome you in to another week of The Drive. It is a fun week. There is a lot going on. It is A-Day week. We've got quite a bit going on this weekend that we will talk about. Let's see. Dan not with us today because, once again, the Troy women win, and they are in the Elite Eight of the women's NIT, and they are playing tonight. So, he probably will be back with us tomorrow, hoping that he's gone again in a few days. I don't know what the exact schedule is. I believe they would play Thursday or Friday if they win tonight. So, once again, Coach Don Dunn, who has been with us for the last couple of days, and we had a great time out at Fairway Auto Brokers on Friday, is in with us today. Don, how you doing today?
Doing good. Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
And it's Monday, so that means Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio. B-Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Always good to be in here.
Yeah, well, so that's who we've got here on the mics. Drew is at the controls. We'd love for you to join in, and you can do so by calling the Drive hotline. Sponsored by Skybar, that number is 334-321-1390, or you can text us on the Drive text box, and that number is 334-564-1840, and it is brought to you by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of The Drive. Well, let's see, where do we want to start today? I mean, we've got all kinds of things. You know, Major League Baseball is going on right now. We've got, as I mentioned, A-Day coming up, so we can talk a little bit about there was a big scrimmage this past Saturday as well. College basketball, though, it's down to the Final Four, and Alabama has, for the first time ever, made it to the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, and it's made Auburn fans focus more on what happened, you know, 11 days ago, whatever it was, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that'll come up, too. And, of course, we've got a big game tonight. Iowa versus LSU and the women's.
That is exactly right.
Is that the Elite Eight or is that the Sweet 16? I don't even know. But
it's the Elite Eight.
Okay, that's going to be a really big game tonight. I'm sure that'll get a lot of a lot of viewers.
Absolutely, it will. To basketball. Alabama, I mean, Clemson just allowed Alabama. I mean, I don't know that they allowed them. Alabama hit threes once again. I mean, they're down by 13. It was 26-13 with about five minutes to go in the first half. Alabama scored 75 points over the last 25 minutes of the game.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
You got to cover them, right? You've got to be physical, and you've got to make a real effort to defend them if you're going to have a chance to beat them, because they can absolutely put up 90 or 100 on any team in the country at any time.
Oh, there's no question about it. Now, they've got UConn, the number one overall seed, coming up Saturday in Game 2. They're the Final Four after the Purdue NC State. NC State, an 11 seed in the Final Four.
I cannot wait to watch the Purdue and NC State big men go against each other.
Oh, no kidding.
That is going to be beautiful.
Yeah, DJ, and I mean, Zach Edey is just so much bigger than anybody, taller than anybody, but he's going to be going against a load.
I mean, it's a thick load.
Who's athletic?
Yes.
I mean, he made a couple of quick little moves and the soft left-handed semi-hook a couple of times the other day. So, wild story from NC State. Who would have thought that they are the ACC team? There is one ACC team. After four ACC teams in the Elite Eight, the only one that makes it to the Final Four is the lowest seed, NC State.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's is it eight? No, nine straight wins they've been on just to get to this point. It's incredible.
Yep. Right, had to run through the ACC
one
tournament.
One foul shot away from being eliminated. That's right. In the ACC tournament.
Yeah, that is amazing. So, yeah, we can talk about that. I mentioned Major League Baseball. Another lost weekend for Auburn baseball, Brian.
Tough. Yeah, they were competitive. I would give them credit.
Oh, they
for
that. Were, and they hit and they hit the ball well enough.
They did.
To win all three of the games.
They did. The problem with that series was every time Auburn would have a good at bat or a good inning.
They could not get the shutdown. They could not bounce back with a zero until it got to the ninth inning yesterday.
And a lot of times that it was because the pitcher would go out there and walk a batter, hit a batter, or there'd be an error, right? And they just give up those free base runners. I think I totaled up. I think there were 18 walks during the series, and 10 of those scored for Texas A&M.
I looked. All right, now I didn't continue doing the math because Auburn pitched better there in extra innings for a couple of innings.
Yeah.
But going to the bottom of the ninth, I looked at SEC numbers, and including one thing that Auburn's a little fortunate, not that it makes it look any better, but you know, WHIP is hits plus walks allowed per inning. Auburn's also hit like 13 batters in SEC play.
Yeah, that's crazy.
They played 9 SEC games. I think they've hit 13 batters.
Yeah.
Auburn pitchers have allowed or had allowed, going to the bottom of the ninth, Auburn pitching had thrown 75 innings in SEC play and allowed 170 base runners.
You can't win.
You're giving up more than 2 base runners per inning. Yeah, you're it's miraculous that, you know, if you don't allow runs every single time, and their ERA was over 8. Going to the last couple of innings. It may have nudged under 8, but, I mean, still, that's got to get better. Auburn just – yeah, you're right, though. That's exactly the feeling I had. Auburn, you know, throughout the weekend, they'd battle back and tie, it seemed like, and as soon as they scored to tie, they'd give up runs.
Yep. And it's just a killer. It kills your momentum. It, you know, it's tough for the team to bounce back when things like that happen, but they kept bouncing back. I mean, the one thing I will give Auburn a lot of credit for is they kept competing.
Oh, absolutely they did.
I almost expected them, after what happened Thursday, Friday, maybe to come out Saturday and be flat and maybe get, you know, beat pretty bad. But it was the exact opposite. They competed again. It was a close game. It went extra innings. Auburn had opportunities. But once you got back up to the top of Texas A&M's order, you know, Montgomery, I think you led off that inning with a double. That guy's an All-American. He's going to be a very high draft pick.
Kidding.
He's the kid that transferred from Stanford, I believe, that played in the World Series last year. He's a superstar. And then, you know, that was pretty much it, you know, for Auburn. They're just going to have to get better starts, and they're going to have to find a combination pitching-wise that's going to work a little bit better, especially on the road.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been different guys. I mean, it's like that's the other thing that's got to be very frustrating is somebody will pitch well one time out, and the next time out they just seem to lose the plate or something. So we'll talk more about that as well. Hey, we'd love to hear from you, though. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We've got so many different things we can talk about. And let's go ahead and get to the Drive hotline, and Yellowhammer gets us started. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Well, I'd love to hear what you all think of this. I heard where Charles Barkley had said that Alabama's basketball team was too frail, and it made me think of the time when Pat Dye was talking about a Georgia team going to
they're not man enough.
Play Alabama.
Yep.
And they're not man enough, yeah.
I guarantee you, Charles didn't mean
it. Trying to motivate.
I don't think Charles was trying. I think Coach Dye was trying to motivate Georgia. I do not I can guarantee you Charles was not trying to motivate Alabama.
Yeah, and he's usually pretty complimentary of most teams. He probably was, but they pulled out that snippet and used it, and it worked for him.
Well, are they frail?
they had been a team that had struggled against some physical teams, especially earlier in the year.
Yeah,
and I'll say this, Alabama. You know, the reputation for Alabama is, you know, was no defense at all. They just try to outscore you. There was a stretch where Alabama had in SEC play where their offense struggled, and You know, the players and Nate Oates said they were focusing so much on defense that their offense fell back. They're better defensively now. They are better defensively now than they were earlier. Yep. And they're not playing like a team that gets pushed around easily lately.
And I don't think they're the best defensive team left in the Final Four, but they're better. I don't think they would be in the Final Four if they hadn't improved in that.
I agree.
What about the team they are matched up against?
Well, they're matched up against the defending national champs, UConn, who went on a 30-0 run.
That's crazy.
Was unbelievable. Scored the last 5 points of the first half and the first 25 of the second half. It was a tie game, Yellowhammer. It was tied at 23, and then it was 53-23 before they allowed another basket.
Yeah, it was crazy. So
what do you think their chances are?
Well, UConn's about a double-digit favorite, around 10.5-point favorite. At least that's the opening numbers that I saw. That's a lot of points, but UConn has led every game. That's another thing, Charles, that was really pointing out. It's mind-blowing. They have led every game here in the NCAA tournament by at least 30 points at one time.
That's crazy.
Ouch. Okay. Well, thanks.
Yep. I don't think that Alabama's a great matchup for UConn. UConn's been pretty good against the three.
Yeah.
Alabama's so good. They have so many different guys that can shoot it. How about the other night it was Jaren Stevenson, a guy that came in as like a 28-29% 3-point shooter. His career high was like 14 or 15, and he hit 6 threes.
And that's what you got to have.
And he's a 6'11 guy.
Yep, that's what you got to have sometimes in the tournament, right? Just guys stepping up and doing stuff like that. Back to baseball real quick. I looked up the SEC numbers only, and Auburn is actually not last in the SEC in ERA.
That is unbelievable.
Two teams below them.
That are worse than 8 ERAs?
Yep. Auburn has a 7.85 ERA in the conference.
It was 8 going to that ninth inning, and then they only gave up one more run in the next four.
Georgia has a 9 ERA in conference games.
9 ERA.
And Ole Miss has a 9.37. So, and Georgia's 4-5, and Ole Miss is 3-6.
Well, and Auburn has played a tougher schedule than those two.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't get any easier this weekend.
No, you're right. Another top five team coming in Tennessee.
A team that can swing the bats, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Very much so.
I mean, there could be an awful lot of offense this weekend because, Tennessee scores them. They give some up. Auburn can score. Auburn can hit. I mean, there's no question. They, Arkansas's pitching is phenomenal, and Auburn struggled, early on against Arkansas. But they can swing the bats. Auburn can score runs. They've got to be able to stop some rallies, keep teams from answering anytime they score, and just work things out. I just wonder. I'm sure. I guess we'll talk to Butch tomorrow or Wednesday. Probably Wednesday.
Well, they got a game
Tuesday
night.
That's
right.
They got a game tomorrow at UAB. So we'll probably talk Wednesday or Thursday.
Yep.
We'll talk to Butch just to find out, if there are any changes to the pitching plans for this weekend.
Yeah. It may be time to shake it up a little bit more.
I think so.
The other thing that I think this team needs is the right-handed bats got to get going a little bit more consistently. Right up, Ike Irish and Cooper McMurray.
Yeah, Chris Stanfield's been swinging it a little better lately.
He did. And
Bobby A&M Bobby series. got off the offer.
Yes.
So. But. But, I mean, they can't have to rely on, we got to score 9 or 10 runs every time out.
Right.
334-321-1390. It's Bill, Brian, Coach Don Dunn here on the Monday edition of The Drive. We'll talk a little football when we come back because Auburn had a scrimmage Saturday. We've got A-Day coming up this Saturday. But we'd love to hear from you, whatever you want to talk about here on the Monday Drive.
Man. Whether you're a senior golfer,
390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio with Drew at the controls, and we'd love for you to join in. As we said, there's a lot going on as we head up to A-Day this Saturday. Don, I mean, what were your thoughts on spring ball? For a lot of players, this last week, it's just get it over with.
Yeah.
Let's just get it done.
I would imagine tomorrow they'll have a pretty intense practice, probably do a lot of group work, like 7-on-7, inside drill, good against good. I don't know if they'll take them to the ground, full-speed tackling, but I think tomorrow will probably be a pretty long and hard practice. And then Thursday, I think, is a fundamental day, is what you told me earlier. And then they'll choose up however they're going to do that. I haven't heard how they're going to do the spring.
No, we may find out tomorrow because we get Hugh Freeze tomorrow at 12:30. So I'm sure that'll be one of the questions.
That'll be a real controlled thing on Saturday. So tomorrow is probably another big day for evaluation, and then they'll kind of back it down, I would imagine.
How did you feel about spring games? What did you want to see out of your guys games?
When I first started coaching, it was a regular game years and years ago. And as it progressed, we even let our seniors sometimes sit out, if you remember.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm old school. I think you got to practice every day and get better. But you don't want to get them hurt. I know that.
Right.
So I don't know. And back, like we were talking a couple weeks ago, back then it was 20 days of spring ball, not 15. And there was no limit on hitting. When I was a graduate assistant, I told you this, at Tennessee, we hit Coach Majors, a lot like Coach Dye, hard nose, old school. We hit every day for 19 days plus the spring game on that old nasty turf at Neyland Stadium. It's like this table. And those guys survived, so I don't know. But you do worry. You don't want to get your quarterback hurt or our top receiver, that young kid. Man, he's having a – I guess he's tearing
Coleman
it up.
Really is.
From what I've heard, talked to some people.
Yeah, Cam Coleman is getting it done.
Yeah, and he's going to make such a difference, man.
And we got to talk to him. I think it was it last Tuesday or Thursday?
Yeah, it was just last week. Uh-huh.
And I could not be more impressed with somebody for a freshman. That's a five star.
Very mature for his, and he's and he's young for his class.
Yes, but just talked about putting his head down and working, and you know, doing what's best for the team. And I did not, you know, I've done a lot of interviews in my time, right? Sometimes kids will say what you want to hear, but that's not the vibe I got from him at all.
No, he just seemed really comfortable and at ease and just telling you what he was thinking. Brian, the scrimmage Saturday, this past Saturday, I've just heard a little bit about some of the things that went on there, but it sounded like a pretty good. A pretty good scrimmage. That's got to be one of the most important practices of the spring, because A-Day, it's for the fans, and it probably won't hurt players. I mean, it could help players a little bit, but I think the coaches, as Don was saying, I mean, they're more controlled situations there in the spring games.
Yeah, and we certainly heard Cam Coleman had another big game. Peyton Thorne was probably the best of the quarterbacks, the most consistent overall.
That's no surprise, really.
Felt like the defense, again, played well.
That's good news.
Yes.
I mean, because, you know, you're wondering, there are more holes really to be filled on the defensive side and more, depth, more inexperienced guys, really, I guess, on the defensive side.
I think Keldrick Falk was a standout again, and I feel like he is, just as a sophomore, is probably one of the leaders of that defense. There's some older, more experienced leaders, obviously, like Eugene Asante and such. But I think
at linebacker, you've got linebackers Keontae Scott and Jason Jones, I guess, are the older hands on defense.
And then in the secondary, I just continue to hear great things about all the young guys, the true freshmen, the redshirt freshmen, the true sophomores. I think they've just signed a really good group of DBs the last couple classes, and they're just all competing in there, and we'll see how it'll work out. But I do think that group's going to have pretty good depth, and we'll lack some experience, right? But I think they feel good about that.
They seem to be really excited about the talent that there is in the back end there on the secondary. So many, I think they have multiple players they feel like could be corners/nickels.
Yep, and there's some guys that I thought were corners are playing safety now, so obviously they're putting a lot into – having
coverage.
Yes, you know, which is maybe a little bit different than it was 10 or 15 years ago, right?
Well, got to be with the you know, how the game has just been geared more and more toward offense, and you know, the passing games everywhere just continue to just get better and better.
Yeah, I mean, just a few years ago Alabama was able to put four NFL receivers out there.
Yeah.
So you had to cover two slot guys that are really, really good,
in the day, you either had a linebacker or a safety
that wasn't
trying to cover those guys, and it was just toast.
Yep.
Yeah. 334-321-1390. We'll talk a little more about football as we move along, but let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. And Michael is up next. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. I may be showing my age a little bit, but I remember probably an early teenager or younger, but I remember vividly my dad taking me to A-Day games. And the one that stands out to me the most is Patrick Nix was coming back. This had to have been 94, 95, because on the other side of that, Damian, young, scouted, touted guy, and he was on the other side. And so they had kind of like a one versus twos.
Yeah, it had to be 95.
So,
yeah.
But that was a great 8A game, and I remember Damian kind of showing out. And I mean, the other one that stands out, I remember Brandon Cox is an early kind of guy coming in. I think behind Jason Campbell, that was a pretty good 8A game too. But I remember just as a kid, you had a little notebook. The game was over. You got to be on the field. The players stayed taking autographs.
Yep.
I mean, it was a great environment. I know they do a little bit now, but probably not to that degree with the autographs and things. But, I mean, those were great 8A games and just some fond memories. And so, I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. Appreciate the time.
That's cool, Michael. That brings back a couple, and I go back. I predate both of you guys on this one here at Auburn. Coach Dye, when Coach Dye first came in, his first spring game ended in a tie. It was like, I think 6-6 or 7-7 was the. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was he went best against best.
Right.
And they pretty much stalemated.
Yep.
And the defense was really good. Mm-hmm. And the offense was still trying to figure out who was going to be the quarterback. And, I mean, this is when Auburn had a backfield of it turned out to be Randy Campbell with Mike Edwards, who was a converted receiver, who was 6'4" at one running back, Lionel James at 5'6" at the other running back. And then that fall, the freshman Ron O'Neill was a fullback. And he was 5'10", 250. It was the funniest looking backfield you've ever seen. I mean, when you just looked at him, it's like, you went, there's no way this is an SEC backfield. But it ended up in a tie. So what did Coach Dye do his second year? He had his players chose upsides, and he started with this. He said, we're starting from the same score. We're going to break the tie. and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then then the next year, Coach Dye let the media supposedly coach.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, this was great. He had the.
This is our dream.
The print media against the electronic media.
Oh, gosh.
So it was like.
There would be so much.
Back and this is back when there were tons of newspapers that were covering. So they were on ones. So Philip is like the semi-head coach of the news media. And I think Fife maybe was our supposed head coach of the electronic media. But we all got, I'll tell you what we got. We got windbreakers, and I still have my windbreaker.
Nice.
That says 1984 A-Day game, Coach Bill Cameron.
Wow.
I've still got that old jacket. And by the way, we won.
There you go.
Philip loves to tell a story about Bud Casey telling him a play that was going to absolutely be a touchdown if they just ran it whenever they wanted to call it, run it. And so when they called it, they did run it, and it was a touchdown. For our team, it's a turnover. Turnover with the
he
other
wasn't lying.
But it was fun. But I mean, you had that, and I remember one of the things that was so cool. I'll still never forget the spring game when all the kids were invited down to race against Bo Jackson.
Wow!
Right,
and
I've seen pictures.
Bo
of that,
gave him like a 50-yard head start.
Yeah.
The kids started at the 50. Bo started at the goal line and beat him.
That's amazing.
But, I mean, it was great. And then I've still got a picture, my older son, Scott, a picture of him with Coach Dye at one of the autograph, mm-hmm. Because they do it on the field.
Oh, yeah.
Back then when it was so hot.
Oh, man.
So hot. And me sitting on the field after the A-Day game.
Yeah, on those
sweating
tables.
Sweating like crazy.
Yeah.
And Scott's got on a pair of cut-off jeans. I think he's got a Gulfarium T-shirt and an Auburn. He's got his
wristbands.
Auburn wristbands, but Coach Dye's autograph and they put lamp black on the kids' eyes.
That's awesome.
It's just cute. It's as cute as could be. But I mean,
yeah.
Spring games. hopefully there's still something like that fun for for the fans. Yeah. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what was fun. You come and you get to see if you could find, oh, here's a player you hadn't heard about. Now, the other thing that so many spring games is the MVP of the A-Day game isn't necessarily somebody that's going to be a star because, like you said, Don, sometimes your starters, your more proven guys, they'll get out there for a little bit, and then it's like, let's don't take chances with them. And you give some of the guys that really have busted and worked so hard, you know, in practice, the walk-ons, give them a chance. And at least they're out there in front of a good crowd getting a chance to show that, hey, they've earned that opportunity to get out there and play some.
Yeah, you want to come out of it, like you said, positive, happy, everybody healthy. And, yeah, those days we'd stay out there in that sun, my gosh. And those, I remember the lines, you know, like for Cadillac and Ronnie and Jason and Coach Tubb were out the door.
Oh, yeah, they'd be, and then you'd 50 look yards
over,
long.
We'd be sitting over there with about two D linemen. We wouldn't have anybody in our line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. Hey, so that was good. Michael, appreciate that. If you've got some A-Day memories, some spring game memories, that's fun, too. So, yeah, like I said, we've got all kinds of things we can talk about. We're just a quarter of the way in. Hey, don't forget, coming up at 5:30, it's our weekly Tiger Takes with one of the guys. I mean, he had another really good weekend, Cooper McMurray. I'm sure he's not happy that the Tigers, you know, didn't come away with a win, but Coop really swinging the bat well. We'll talk to him at 5:30. In the meantime, love for you to join in anything on your mind, sports-wise, here on the Monday Drive.
10-0. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Brian Matthews from auburnsports.com, Coach Don Dunn. B-Matt, as I said, I mean, there's plenty going on. Let's see, we've got baseball, softball, tennis, I believe, tennis. Men's and women's tennis, and the A-Day game all going on this weekend. Basketball, obviously recruiting right now is the big concern for Auburn. Well, roster management, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I would expect them to look very hard at point guards and guards in particular. We've seen that, you know, Auburn the last few years has struggled a little bit. They were better this year, but as far as playmaking from the guard position, consistent three-point shooters, they could always use more of that, right? You see some of the teams in the Final Four or making runs in the tournament, they have really good guard play. And Auburn's guard play probably hasn't been up to par what it was, you know, going back to 2019 and 20 in those seasons. So I think that's something that they're going to try to address right away in the transfer portal.
Brian, we haven't had you on the air since we had Coach Pearl's sort of exit press conference the other day, and there's been a lot of reaction from people to that. I mean, what were your thoughts? You were in there. We were both over there for that.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised he's defending his players. That's what he does, right?
Absolutely.
Personally, I thought that it had kind of blown over. Maybe it was time to let it go, but I understand why. You know, that was when he was speaking to us about it, and that was his chance to speak on it. I was good with, you know, Coach Pearl's always good with the media, always answers our questions, you know, gives us good, important information. So I thought it was overall really good. And I think people are still upset about what happened to Auburn 11 days ago. And I think one of the reasons people are still upset about it is because Auburn's biggest rival is still playing.
I agree. That just continues to rub salt or pour alcohol in the wound.
Right. But I think we've got to remember that in 10 years, Coach Pearl has won half of Auburn's SEC championships, regular and tournament championships, in 130 years of basketball. So this is the best basketball coach in the history of Auburn's program. As soon as that season, even before the season ended, they were on the phone working the transfer portal and trying to set things up, and they are working really hard right now to try to bring a better team to the floor next year. And I just think people just need to accept that Auburn got upset, right? Auburn was the better team. They just got beat.
It sucks, but you know what? It happens every year to somebody, and it's unfortunately for Auburn, this was one of the years that it happened to them.
And I still feel like that was a team that had they won that opening game, had a chance to make a run. They had a really tough draw.
I agree.
Compared
I agree.
To some other schools.
Well, we talked about it that it was last week, that it was very, very similar in 2019. The same thing could have happened to them
right.
against New Mexico State, but fortunately they didn't hit a shot or two.
Right.
And then Auburn was able to go on a run. Most teams aren't like UConn, leading everybody by 30-plus.
Right.
Most teams have a game where, oh, crap, they could have lost that one as they make runs.
Yeah, I'm not sure Auburn would have got past UConn, but
I
think they certainly would have had a great chance to make the Sweet 16, and who knows what happens when you get there. You just never know.
Right. Now, I've been thinking about a couple of things about this as I hear people still on and on. Look, I think one of the things that at least I believe, and I'd love to get both of your guys' thoughts on this. Look, the Auburn fan base is a passionate, very, very yeah. passionate fan base. And at times, I think that can be a problem when they don't win because they're so passionate,
yeah.
especially on social media.
Yes.
I mean, they love it, and they never want to stop enjoying the victory. But I think sometimes that they can go overboard yeah. the other way when it's
when you draw a loss. We yes. don't need to draw conclusions over yeah. just one game or one moment
in
time.
Do you disagree? I don't know, and maybe I'm too close to it. But as I try to watch other fan bases, they seem to get over things a little quicker.
Yeah, and I think Auburn would have gotten it over quicker if
Alabama had been bumped.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real quickly, back to the press conference. The most interesting thing to me was he talked about
Todd
Pettifor.
Yes.
The signee that'll be here, sometime in the next couple of months, right? Mm-hmm. May, probably.
Yeah.
Wanted to use him as an off guard. He's about 6-foot-ish, type guy. Not a big guard.
Slightly built.
But yes. very quick. I think he is a guy that, with the ball in his hands, can beat somebody off the dribble and make things happen, but also a very good three-point shooter, and they want to use him in that fashion.
And I think that also is to let other point guards out there know that
yes.
there's playing time available
yes.
for them.
Yes.
I think that's got to be part of the message, yeah. a big part of it. 334-321-1390, that's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Sky Bar. And let's get we were about to get
Tommy.
Tommy on the line. Tommy, if you get a chance, give us a call back. Love to hear from you as we continue here with the Monday Drive. Brian, sticking with basketball, obviously the one of the most important things right now is who's back.
Right.
Who comes back for Auburn. I mean, Bruce talked about Auburn doing everything they can to get Janai back. They expect to have Chad back. They'd love to get Dylan back. Do you think Auburn goes after? I guess they have to sort of wait and see what happens with Janai or Dylan to know whether they're going after another big.
Yeah, well, they definitely need another four, I think, to come in and compete with Chaney Johnson. I don't know if they're going to go after this guy's going to step in and be the starter type four, or this guy's going to come in and compliment Chaney the kind of the way that Chaney complimented Jalen, right?
Uh-huh.
Because if you watch Chaney at the end of the season, it looks like he's ready to take another step forward.
I agree.
And maybe be that full-time starter, maybe be an impact-type player. They could need two fives, or they may need no fives. You just don't know how that's going to work out yet.
So. I've heard some people speculating, maybe they go with the big lineup that they had when Jalen was out, and Janai plays a little four.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility, yes. But I also look at these teams that play three guards and a very athletic four, and it's hard to match up with them yep. on the perimeter sometimes. So I think Auburn, if they're going to do that, they also need to be flexible enough where he can switch to the five, and you've mm-hmm. got a capable four to get in there that can match up against some of these other kids that play.
All right, we lost him again. All right, Tommy, I'm just trying to get to the end of a thought, and then we'll get to you.
Something else, this portal, it's out of hand in basketball too, right?
Yep.
Is it? It's going on during the NCAA.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As soon as the team season is over,
yeah.
like if they, if a team didn't make the tournament, guys could be in the portal. If a team is in the tournament, as soon as they lose, their players can get in the portal.
It's really unfair the teams are doing
yes.
well right now.
Yes.
Very unfair.
Yeah. Yes.
Because they are trying to prepare to play the biggest game for some of them in the history of their school, or maybe, you know, Purdue hasn't been to the Final Four since 1980. That's 44 years, right?
Right. But, Alabama's never been.
Right, yeah. So on top of all that, they've got to be recruiting in the portal to build next year's team. So, yeah.
And some people would say, well, that's good because the teams that aren't there deserve the advantage. Sure, but sure. I don't know about that.
Yeah, no. Sure.
All right, 334-321-1390. Love for you to join in here on the Monday edition of The Drive. We had Tommy on hold a couple of times. Tommy, if you call back, I'll try to just stop in the mid-sentence and get you on. Hopefully it was just a situation where he had maybe wasn't in great cell coverage or something somewhere.
That happens.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's see, any other thoughts, I guess?
Well, we can talk some more about the roster if you want to. I do think, as you mentioned, Denver, I think they're come back. KD, of course, has already entered the portal.
Right.
I think he's looking.
We don't know about the point guards right now.
We don't, but I would not be surprised if one of them elected to,
right.
to move
either.
On. But we'll see how that goes. That may depend on how things go with guys coming in.
Now, Auburn's got another. Is Ja'Kai Howard? He's sort of a 3-4,
yes,
right?
Yeah. I think, he's 6'7", so he could match up 4, but he's not a big, thick
he's
kid.
He's not strong enough yet, I wouldn't
right.
think, to be.
More of an athletic guy that can right. play the wing, shoot the 3, those type of things. You know, we'll see how accurate he is, how much he can play.
He can leap pretty
yes,
well, too.
Definitely an athlete. So I would circle him in at the 3 with Chad Baker, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I think, you know, a 4, a point, maybe a 5, maybe not, we'll see.
Right.
And then maybe for the next roster spot, take another shooting guard, a guy that can just hit threes
and rotate,
right?
You can't get enough guys that can just shoot.
Auburn just has not had enough of those guys consistently.
Auburn was much better this year. I mean, they were a good bit better than they had been. But, I mean, still, as you said, you look and you watch the games of the tournament, and, I mean, teams just have multiple guys that can light it up.
Yep. And, you know, I talked to somebody about this. It wasn't my original thought. I can't remember what it was, but they talked about Chad Baker Mazar being Auburn's only real playmaker, right? Or guy with the ball.
Creator.
Right, creative player.
I agree. I sort of agree with that. I mean, he's the only guy that could bring the ball up the court and do something and create his own play.
And they need a couple more players.
I agree.
That, you know, when you lose that one player on your team, you get what you get, right, with Auburn. And, you know, you just need more than one guy on that team, you know, in case of injury, in case of fouls, in case of what happened, or just to have more than one is important. So I think that's something they need to look for.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our final break here of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
What's up, guys? This is Uncle
Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Oh, welcome back again. One of these times, Drew. We really need to be rolling some stuff, and I think we could. We've got a gold mine in some of the things we talk about when we're not on the air.
We don't
need to be talking about them on the air because it wouldn't make everybody happy. But I've thought about like the old Paul Harvey rest of the story.
Yeah,
I think great. I think that would be fun. To hear the rest of the show, what doesn't go on the air probably never should go on the air.
I may not be able to come on the air again if you did that.
Yeah.
I got a little mouth on me.
Yeah, well, now that where was I the other day? We were talking. We were somewhere, and it was like, they were a little surprised. They went, you're on the radio. You can't talk like that. It's like, well, I'm not. Hopefully, I'm not talking like that. And no, folks, it's not like not like every other word or anything. Yeah. But
I've heard Don Dunham practice field too. So.
Oh, yeah.
No fun done.
That's right.
No,
I
no,
never
that's...
everybody in the portal.
Oh man, let's see. We've been talking some basketball. We talked a little baseball. We talked some football here earlier on. To football a little bit more, Brian. I mean, the this spring, I've mentioned this a couple of times, and I want to reiterate to Kirk and Shelley and to Coach Freeze and everybody, we appreciate all the players that we've been able to get this spring. We talked to all the assistant coaches.
We talked to half the team, yep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the other day. I bet it's been about half the team.
Yeah, it's been terrific.
It's more than we've had in years and years.
I mean, he's let us go out to practice, I think, twice. You know, usually it's about 15 or
20
minutes.
Yeah, I know, and I left early both of those times. Last week, I'm ready to stay the whole time, and bam, we're out of there in 15
minutes. I did, too. I know one time we'd already bought tickets to go see a movie, so I couldn't stay. And then the other time, I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was a baseball game. Yeah, I had to go to a baseball game. So, yep.
But, no, I mean, it's been great. The access has been really good. But there have been some interesting things from some of the players. Sam Jackson, I thought, was great last week, talking about his experiences at TCU. Mm-hmm. And he's been around programs that have sort of turned it around. But I think one of the things I feel – from the number of players we've had is they're not terribly concerned about somebody saying something that, oh, crap, I wish they hadn't said that, or going to show that there are any problems. Right. I mean, this seems to be a pretty together group, this team.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I've been in situations where every player that comes in has to speak to a media relations staff member for a few minutes before they come to the podium.
And then they give the same answers.
Just... Please stop. You know, from my perspective, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, okay, thanks, but yeah, this has been terrific. The players will sit down with us for as long as we want to talk to them.
Some, as long as somebody has a question,
right? Some
they'll
go
stay there
5 or 6 minutes. Other
some
interviews,
go 20.
Yeah, yep. And Cam Coleman, for instance, a true freshman, I think his interview was 15 minutes.
Yeah,
and he was great. Answered all our questions and everything. So
I was very impressed with listening to him, not knowing him. Yep. The way they conducted themselves, they answered the questions, they were articulate, and they all seemed positive, you know what I'm saying? Upbeat, like you just said.
And it wasn't all like, it didn't seem like, well, they've all been given a list of say this.
Yes, yeah. Robots.
I think Freeze puts a big emphasis on building family, culture, all that stuff. Every coach talks about it, right? Mm-hmm. The previous coach talked about culture all the time. But you didn't actually see it or feel it. I'm afraid. But you do get that from this group. You definitely do. And I think that's hard to do. I think it's hard to define. It's hard, you know, does this team have good leadership or not?
Who knows?
How do you know until they get tested, right, or go through it? I can tell you the baseball team has good leadership because they've been going through it for a while now, and they keep coming back and fighting.
Right.
Okay. I believe this football team is going to have good leadership, but you know they can say it, but you got to see it, right? Mm-hmm. They got to go through it first.
334-321-1390. Back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Bill. What have y'all heard as far as let me say this. We heard that the defensive the defense got the best of things the other day, but yet Thorne had a real good day. You know, Cam Coleman, Austin had a long run, this, that, and the other. It seems like, and there's also talk that, the defensive line isn't doing that great, but how can that be if the defense is getting the better of the offense, if the offense has improved?
Well, I think the offense is still making plays. And if you looked at last year's offense, that offense really lacked playmakers, right? Mm-hmm. They could grind out a few things here and there. And other than maybe that game up at Vanderbilt, there just was not a big play offense, especially in the passing game. And I think by adding a Cam Coleman, by adding, you know, a Robert Lewis, a transfer, guys who can get open more and give Peyton more options, I just think that opens up things. I think Damari Austin had a nice run in the scrimmage, but I think when the coaches break it down and just look at it, grade the film or whatever you want to call it, they felt like the defense got the best of them, and they're really happy with how that's going. And of course, you also got to factor in, was it ones against ones, ones against twos, you know, exactly
right
how that.
Yeah, right. That's what I heard a little of, Brett, is that when it was ones against ones, the defense played pretty well. But there are a couple of plays when the defense can be in the right spot and they can be ready to make a play, and a playmaker, a Cam Coleman or somebody, can make a spectacular play, or a quarterback can make a really, really good throw, but it's still the defense being where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I understand that, but if your defensive line isn't playing really good, defense really isn't going to get the best of them. So I'm hoping that the defensive line is doing better than what some people have said. Last thing, how is Jameson Travis doing?
Oh, Bobby, yeah.
I still think they want him to continue to get better.
I think he's working with the second bunch from what we've seen out there. The other thing to keep in mind, Brett, I really think they like this offensive line.
Yeah.
I think they feel much. And I don't think the offensive line was bad last year, but I think it's much improved with Percy Lewis there at the left tackle.
They are going to look for a D lineman, D tackle,
yep,
in the transfer report afterwards. They do feel like Trill Carter and Gage Keys are a little bit better than I thought they'd be. Mm-hmm. So they're happy with those two transfers that have come in on the D-line.
Appreciate it, Brett. We need to get to our top of the hour break. Still another hour to go. Love for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on this nice looking Monday. Dan is down in Troy, where the Troy women playing in the quarterfinals, the Elite Eight of the women's NIT. So he should be back tomorrow. But we've got a room full here today. Bill, along with Brian Matthews of AuburnSports.com, who's usually in on Mondays, and Coach Don Dunn back in after having to put up with me a couple of days last week.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. We had a big time last Friday. I was very impressed with all the cars we saw, and saw some old friends I hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was fun.
Yeah, we were over at Fairway Auto Brokers on Friday, and that was great. Yeah, tremendous selection they had, and understood that they had a really good weekend. I mean, hopefully we had a little something to do with that, but I mean, yeah, they had great deals, some really, really great deals.
I wonder if anybody found the egg.
I guarantee you somebody did. I told a couple of folks about it. I said, hey, because I know a couple of people that are thinking about, you know, upgrading, time to get new vehicles. And I said, go over and look, and you might, you know, maybe you can find that prize egg. Had the 2-year-old granddaughter practicing. She was getting a little, she got a little work in on yesterday awesome, as she found a few eggs around the house. Now, Brian, here's one of the things she did. It was great. We've got a pool in the back, and I've finally got it's clean, even with all the pollen and stuff, got it fairly clean. She really liked taking stuff and going and throw it in the pool yesterday.
Oh. So
she'd find an egg, open up, and it'd be there was at least a Hershey Kiss and some other things tossed in the pool yesterday.
I bet there's some good stories about Easter out there. I read one online. I don't know if we want to go in this direction, but it was about a young dad who the night before he went outside in the front yard and hit all the eggs. And then the next morning they wake up and there's just some shells scattered on the lawn because the raccoons ate them and took away all of them.
I was going to say, that's better. Yeah. My first impression was they're going to go out and there's a bunch of snakes.
Oh, wow. that would be bad too, yeah.
Because it wasn't Easter eggs or anything, but yeah, that's the thing. If you got real eggs,
yes,
you know what we would invariably is like 6 months later you'd find a rotten egg
right
somewhere. Yeah. Oh, there's a great bleed. Step in a hole and it's like, oh, God, what is that? Oh. That was an Easter egg that we hid. So that's why most times now they're the plastic ones.
Yeah, we still did. We did. Well, I mean, my kids haven't been that young for a little while now, but we did real eggs
you
for a while.
You still real eggs and dyed them and everything? Yep. I remember doing all that. Dyeing the eggs.
So nasty.
Get your hands all. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, it was fun. It was fun doing. It was fun. Get the little aluminum little holder thing and try to dip them down in the cup full of coloring.
If you could do two different colors.
Sure.
That's awesome.
Sure, we had that. Now, I don't know that a lot of kids these days are going to get that.
No.
Because I think most things are plastic. Yeah. Kennedy right now, my granddaughter, she thinks that she sees an egg, she thinks it's supposed to pop open. All right. So hope everybody had a good Easter. Welcome in. It is hour number two of the Monday Drive and the second hour of the show, as usual, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we'd love for you to join us. We have a caller right now on the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390, and the caller is Greg. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good.
Well, I tell you what, our baseball team, they've had some tough times, some close games, and I hope they can keep fighting a little bit.
Yeah, it's tough. You scored 24. Yeah, you scored 24 runs in a three-game series and don't win one. That's tough.
It's tough. I mean, you got to show some resiliency and some character. You're playing against some good teams, and only way to go is up from here. As long as you, like you said, I heard y'all touch on it. The leadership. Hopefully, them boys can pull together and we can finish it strong and make a run late in the season when it really matters. Hopefully, but.
They need to win this series this week. They really, I mean, I don't know, Brian, if they can, if they're not 5-10 at the midway point, it's going to be really, really tough because you need to have 13 or 14 wins by the end of the season.
They were 5-10 last year at midpoint and ended up 17-13.
I know.
But I'm not sure this team can do that.
Right. But if they're 4-11 or worse, that's going to be really, really
tough.
They got
to get to 13 or 14, you're right, have a chance.
Well, you know, the conference is strong. There's no doubt about that. I was really hoping for something, still one or two of them. Don't get swept. But still a little bit, especially with our pitching staff. I was really hoping that would come around. But, still time. We'll stay positive with it. Keep grinding. And, you know, some of them close wins, you might turn them into something else. But another thing I was going to ask y'all, I haven't heard his name much. What about DeMarcus Riddick for the football team? Anybody heard anything about him?
I've heard good things about every single freshman. I think we may have mentioned this last week, but I think Auburn has hit it with all of them.
The only thing I've heard, I've heard that he is very impressive looking and he moves very well. It's just there's an awful lot being thrown at some of these young guys, and that's what the only thing I've heard that might be anything, and it's not a negative, it's just that he's a young guy and he's still learning, and so he's catching up.
And you've got some veterans at that position. You've got Asante, you've got Steiner, you've got
Darian Mossy, who's transferred in.
Mossy, and the linebacker now is basically two positions. It's not three anymore because you're playing nickel most of the time, so it's going to be tough, I think, for Riddick to get a whole lot of snaps, especially early.
You would think special teams would be a place where you could see him.
And then let's see what he can do by the time we get in the second half of the season, because he is certainly a great athlete. If you watched his high school film or watched him play, he can absolutely run and will light up a dude if he gets a chance.
Well, that's a good thing. We got some depth. We start to build a little depth. It's going to take some time, being realistic. I look at this team, guys. I mean, the receivers we got last year, I think we was kind of hoping a little bit more out of them. It is just wasn't the case.
Yep.
But the offensive line and its receiving core, seems like you might get a little bit more production out of them. We get our running backs. If we get our running backs going a little bit better, like I said, this team, 8-9 wins, that's kind of what we always kind of hoping for. It may be a little better. I think they was better than what they was last year. They had some tough games there, but the depth and hopefully the leadership aspect, maybe we can pull something together and keep building for the future of this program. I just Guys, I'm telling y'all something. I know y'all probably look on Twitter and everything else, but my goodness, that's, you know, the Auburn basketball team, I hate it. Jalen Williams, I hated that for them so much. I mean, I know Bruce was saving that last time out, but, you know, when it gets to this point of the season, you got, you know, a lot of them older guys. Somebody's got, you know, you can't always just have a rah-rah speech. It's like, you know what, hey, call the timeout or do something on a media timeout. Hey, let's have a conversation and what are we doing? We turning the ball over, being sloppy with it, and it's just calm down. I mean, calm down. If we could have just got past that game, got the ugly game out the way, man, that team, I really wanted to see what they'd have done if they could have been clicking on all cylinders like they was in the SEC tournament. But, you know, maybe we can get some of them guys back. Maybe we can get Broome back. Maybe, you know, a few little pieces here and there. But I'll tell y'all what, guys, I'm going to miss old Jalen Williams. He was a steady Eddie right there. But we'll see what happens with him. But, hey, I just want to call in and shoot the bull, y'all. Hey, man, y'all have a great day, man. I enjoyed listening to the show.
Good hearing from you, Greg. I mean, yeah, some really good points about multiple sports there. I mean, it's right now it's been tough for Auburn fans here for the last couple of weeks.
It has, but I do think the football team is building back up to being a much more competitive program. But I also think it is important in today's college football for them to take a real step forward on the field.
I agree. I mean, you need to see some marked improvement, and it needs to be in wins.
Yep. You can look at Billy Napier. Florida is a great football program, an SEC program. He struggled in year two or three? I can't
remember.
Two. He struggled in year two. His recruiting
struggling
class.
Struggling year one, struggling year two. That's a problem.
And his recruiting class, I think, went from a potential top five class to a top 15-ish class.
Auburn can thank Florida very much for that. Just think, if that hadn't been the case, Amaris Williams, Jamonte Waller could be Gators.
And the person that called a couple callers ago about that D-line, they felt great about the three freshmen. They feel like they hit it. You cannot rely on a bunch of true freshman defensive linemen in this league.
No, they're gonna play a lot, though. They are going to play a lot.
Yeah, play a lot and be ready to really get after it in year two.
I mean, we were talking about it a little earlier. I mean, I was talking about the chemistry of the team, but I think, I mean, I have a hard time believing the offense isn't going to be very much improved this year. I mean, just with the addition of some playmakers offensively, and I think Peyton Thorne being able to go through a spring, I think those two right there and a true left tackle.
Yep.
I mean, that's just those are huge things that Auburn didn't have last year. They had a quarterback that didn't go this spring. They didn't have any playmakers at receiver. They had Dylan Wade, who was doing his best being a left tackle when he's actually a guard.
Yep, they've made every position on the team better around Peyton Thorne for year two under him, and he's got a spring to go through it. But I think maybe the most important thing, and Coach Dunn can speak to this better than I can, but I think when you have a coaching staff, especially an offensive staff or a defensive staff, on the same page as assistants and coordinators and now analysts, I think that can make a really big difference too.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You have to be. It can't work any other way. We've seen that at a lot of places where there's, you know, turmoil.
You saw that up very close when you know, there'd been such a tight-knit staff, and then you make a change on the other side of the ball, and everybody wasn't on the same page.
Exactly. And it's hard to fix it, and the players know.
Brian got that picture.
The players know. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That was Charles Goldberg, not me.
Oh, that's
right. I think even defensively, there might have been at least one coordinator that maybe didn't mesh well with you guys, if I'm remembering correctly, during your time there. So, it can happen.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so the offense, you know, the offense is all on the same page. They've all worked. They've all worked with Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
If not last year, then prior to that. Defensively, it's going to be really interesting to see how things go. We've heard the players really talking about how they like. There's a little. It's a little more aggressive than Ron Roberts' defense from a year ago, D.J. Durkin's
this year. He is very much in the Will Muschamp type mode as far as energy and being outspoken during practice.
I believe in style of defense, too.
Yep, I think, yeah. Very much like this is it's hard to find something different. I want to try to – but I think he's fit in really well, really quickly, and I think the players like him. I think the other coaches on the staff really like him, and I think Hugh Freeze has really checked off a lot of boxes with the guys he brought in as far as meshing together well on offense and as far as being talented and working together really well with a bunch of new guys learning to work together on defense. I don't think D.J. Durkin had worked with any of these coaches.
No, he hadn't. That was a bit of a surprise.
Before he got here.
Yeah.
But it seems to be going pretty well so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say that's exactly right. From what I've heard and what I can gather, it's a much more aggressive get after you, a little bit more on defense, attention to detail, all the little things you got to do. So all I've heard is positive things. Now, like you said, we got to put it on the field.
Yep. And, you know, sometimes like Charles Kelly, right, an Auburn guy comes in, mm-hmm. he's been a coordinator, he's an older established coach. Now he's coaching his position. Sometimes you worry, okay, is that going to be?
Is he going to go, hey, I deserve more?
And he is absolutely the opposite of that. He is head nose to the grindstone, coaches players up, be a part of the group. I think he's fit in perfectly here.
He is happy to be at Auburn,
yeah,
too.
And I think it's important to have guys like that on the staff, right?
Yes.
You know, you lost a couple of Auburn guys. You just want to, you know, some guys that have been around, know Pat Dye, know the history of this school to be a part of the program.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
All right, we'll get to our first break of hour number two. Don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Tiger Takes with Cooper McMurray. Till then, though, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, or you can text us on the Drive text box sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number is 334-564-1840. Come on in here on the Monday Drive.
It's time to stop dealing with
live at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Monday afternoon, 20 minutes after 5 o'clock. Bill, Brian Matthews, Coach Don Dunn. Some Major League Baseball today as other teams are getting their opening days in, you know, home openers in. Braves haven't gotten to theirs yet.
Not yet.
But the Braves dumped a little water on the White Sox opener today. 9-0. The Braves blank the White Sox today. Charlie Morton got the start and pitched shutout baseball for the Braves. The Braves, let's see, how many more homers did they hit today? Let me look. I know that Austin Riley with his first of the year. But Charlie Morton goes 5 2/3, 3-hit shutout baseball, struck out 6. And let's see, for the Braves, Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley. It was funny, when I looked up and the score, the first score I saw was, I think, 4-0. By the sixth inning, every single Brave in the starting lineup had one hit. Nobody had more than one hit. Turned out only two players had multiple hit games, but no Brave starter went hitless today. So you talk about balanced.
Yeah.
As the Braves off to a 3-1 start, the White Sox have yet to win. Meanwhile, Drew's Cubs get shutout pitching from their Japanese import. Imanaga goes 6 innings of 2-hit, 9-strikeout baseball for the Cubbies today as they blank the pretty hapless Colorado Rockies. The Rockies are bad. They are a bad team. They're a team that I don't think has realized how bad they are, and they keep you know, they have some older players that they shouldn't even be on. They ought to be playing a bunch of kids. If they're no good, then they could at least try to build them up from there. But the Cubs win 5-0. I believe that is, those may be the only two finals. There were a couple of other games going on. The Pirates were leading the Nationals in the eighth inning. Well, it's now tied. The Nats have tied it up at 3-3. All right, 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone. And I think Tommy is back with us. Tommy, did you have some trouble a little earlier?
Yeah, I did. I thought I had the grandkids pacified for me to make the call, but they didn't.
Oh, well, that's understandable.
We know how that can go.
Good. I was afraid we were waiting too long to get you on the air or something.
No, no. I was just taking care of them. Hey, a question for you.
Sure. What you got?
Yesterday, from not directly from somebody in the athletic department, but somebody who heard him say it, does the NCAA handle all the travel for the teams in the tournament?
In the NCAA tournament, they cover the cost, yes.
What do they do, the planning?
No, I don't believe they do the planning. I believe they leave it that up to teams to try to handle it as best they can.
Because what I'd heard, I think, is it Jeremy Roberts in the athletic department was talking to some people in a class or something and mentioned that Auburn had like 1 hour after that game to get on the bus to go back to the hotel to get their stuff and then get on a plane. And they didn't get back to Auburn until like 4:30 in the morning. But if that's – I didn't know if it really was true that the NCAA was that involved in travel plans, and I wondered why they would want to have that much control over travel plans.
Yeah, it's probably a situation, Tommy, where first of all, I don't think Auburn was expecting to have to be leaving
right.
that soon. But it may have been a situation where they just – they needed – you know, there may not have been different windows for them to be able to get out unless they waited till the next right. day or something like that. I think the NCAA pretty much says, they're going to cover things. And then there are situations where other things may be going on, and it just makes it very difficult to get those travel plans done. But I'm pretty sure that the universities themselves handle those, but you probably got some really difficult situations that you're put up against when you have unexpected changes.
And Spokane yeah. is a hard place to get in and out of.
Well, had Auburn right. won that regional there,
they weren't coming home.
Right. They were going to have to fly to yeah. Boston on Monday and get ready for, the East Regional Finals or whatever it would be. So
that's kind of what I was kind of trying to figure out is what was the rush to get home? I mean, if they had won, they were going to stay. So obviously they had plans.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not like the rooms were going to be used by somebody else that night, I wouldn't imagine. I don't know.
Auburn could certainly afford to have them stay over another night. Just
yeah, unless the NCAA is going, you lost, we're not covering another night. I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call. Appreciate
it. Appreciate it, Tommy. Hey, we've got Dan Peck joining us from down in Troy, where he's got a ball game coming up in a little while. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thought I'd pop in and check up on you. Sorry I've been missing so much work lately, but I'm Yeah, we got WNIC.
No, you're not. Your Troy team keeps winning.
That's right. I'm on assignment. I'm not on vacation here. We are in the Great Eight, the quarterfinals of the WNIC tonight at Trojan Arena against ULM, Sunbelt versus Sunbelt here in the quarters. Winner will be in the final four of the WNIC, the last four standing. In the WNIC, looking forward to an exciting one tonight. Troy was able to win Friday night at North Carolina A&T, pick up that road win in Greensboro to keep the season going.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, now you've got a conference matchup tonight.
That's right. Two teams have played. We played two really close games during the regular season. ULM, it's a great story. They were a doormat in the Sun Belt for years and years. Went out and hired a new coach this offseason. She was a successful junior college coach. She reunited with some of her former players, including two starters from last year's Auburn team, who are now on ULM, J.K. Johnson and Sanaya Wells, and among other players that she was able. I mean, they start five transfers from last year, who weren't on last year's team, and they've immediately put themselves in the top half of the Sun Belt after years of futility, and now they're in the final eight teams in the WNIC.
Well, that's great.
Should be a really exciting one. Troy's had the advantage in the two regular season games, but this is a different animal. This postseason basketball, we'll see if Troy can recapture some of that success.
Yeah, we were talking a little earlier today, Dan, and I mean, there's no telling if Troy wins where they'll be. later on this week.
So the other side of the bracket is Minnesota and Wyoming. I don't know for sure when or where. My guess would be that if Minnesota wins, we may be able to host, and if Wyoming wins, we may be traveling to Laramie. But that's just based on me reading the tea leaves and trying to guess which way the wind is going to blow.
When do they play?
I don't know for sure.
When do they play, Dan?
All four quarterfinal matchups are tonight.
Okay,
all four games are tonight. We'll know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll know the last four. By end of business this evening.
So, would you think Thursday is too soon for them to play? That seems like that would be about right.
I don't know. I would guess Wednesday or Thursday. It could be a situation where the
Wednesday
winning team,
be such a quick turnaround and a lot of travel for somebody.
I know, but Wednesday could be a situation where, I mean, the winning team could have a date at the airport tomorrow.
Man.
If we're talking about that. So I do not envy the Dobos, the director of basketball operations, who have to sort of, you know, keep a lot of options open as they try to coordinate travel for their teams during these postseason tournaments. Troy's got an excellent staff. I'm sure they'll have somewhere for us to go. But yeah, Laramie, Wyoming could very well be, depending on what happens tonight on our side of the bracket. You know, could be Minneapolis, St. Paul, could be Laramie, could be Troy, could be Monroe.
Well, I guess we'll have a better idea of when Dan will be back and where he will be after tonight.
That's right. But Barry's going to have the call on ESPN Plus. I'm on the radio, TroyTrojans.com/watch, and the Troy Sports Radio Network. If folks want to follow along, we're tipping off. It's a pregame starting in about 15 minutes, and we're tipping the game off in about a half hour.
Man, hey, got to get your quick thoughts on how big a surprise the Final Four is for you.
Well, I had Bama, as you know. I was sort of strategically,
wow,
you know, taking Bama just to the Final Four. I don't have them beating UConn. I thought Tennessee, you know, if UConn wasn't going to win at all, I thought Tennessee had as good a chance as anybody. That was a great game yesterday, but Purdue was just too much for them inside. NC State's got to be the biggest surprise, right? This team has won 8 or 9 must-win games in a row in order to get here, including a couple of them where they were a significant underdog to Duke or North Carolina or Marquette, for that matter. So NC State's, you know, the best story, although I do think we're sort of looking at a UConn team that, you know, might be the best team college basketball has seen since the Billy Donovan Gators of 15 years ago, or maybe even better than that. I don't know. So, I think that the surprise is NC State.
Oh, yeah.
Bama's the team that maybe could wreck everybody's fun, except for folks in the immediate Tuscaloosa area. And then you've got the heavy favorite, I think, in UConn and Purdue. I mean, look, UConn-Purdue would be a fine heavyweight championship matchup at the end, right? Based on the way they've played this year.
Sure.
It's tough. It's tough to go against UConn, though, the way they've played so far.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a team lead by at least 30 in every single game of their NCAA tournament before.
No, and this was after one of the more dominant runs last year through the tournament, too. If you remember, they didn't play a close game in last year's NCAA tournament. Now they're doing this. It is incredible, and maybe we're seeing over the last two seasons or so we've seen some legends step aside in college basketball. I think we've seen the fella in Stores, Dan Hurley. Mm-hmm. We've seen him assert himself as the top coach in the sport based on what he's been able to do these last two seasons.
Hard to argue with that, Dan. Man, it's good hearing from you. Good luck tonight. No, you got to get to the broadcast.
Appreciate it, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Dan Peck joining us from down in Troy. All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, Tiger Takes, baseball style, with Cooper McMurray. So stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment, brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. he's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And we're pleased to be joined once again today by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray. Coop, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing fine, man. Another tough weekend for you guys down there. I mean, so close, it felt like in every single ball game.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we were talking in a different situation, but yeah, it was a tough weekend, definitely. But you know, I'm proud of the guys for how they fought and, you know, showed a little bit of our character, and, you know, we're going to continue to get back to work, and, you know, hopefully things will turn around for us pretty soon.
Man, it's ridiculous when you look at the just the competition, the talent level, and the schedule that Auburn was dealt here to get things started in the SEC. It feels like, you know, how many more top five teams can there be? Well, hey, there's another one coming up this week.
Yeah, I mean, we got, I think, number four Tennessee coming in town this weekend. So, you know, another – yeah, it's a tough schedule, but it's also full of great opportunities for us. And, you know, wish we could have came up and, you know, took advantage of some of those in the past weekends. But now we're looking forward to Tennessee coming to town and, you know, hopefully taking care of some of those opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, it's not just an individual game or anything, but, I mean, you had a heck of a week this past week, George, sending out some of the notes. And, you know, you're down as you and Ike, players of the week. I mean, hitting over 500 for the week with a couple of homers. I mean, baseball is such a streaky game. You'll go through a few games where, you know, it's all of a sudden you just get a hair out of sync, and it can really throw you off. But congrats on turning things back around. I'm sure you're ready to get right back in the box and play another game right now.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, baseball is so mental, and it's such a tough game. So it's important not to get too high, not to get too low. So, yeah, it's all just, you know, going in every day and doing your work and doing your preparation and getting ready for the week ahead.
Now, the this past weekend, like I said, I mean, so close. Good to see more of the bats coming alive. I mean, right now, there's no question that the Auburn lineup is something to really be reckoned with. Anybody who's facing you guys is going to have quite the task because of the I love the ability to hit the ball to all fields and with power up and down the whole lineup.
Yeah, you know, I think it kind of speaks to the maturity of the group, and you know, we're going to play our game no matter what. You know, whether it's hitting the ball out of the ballpark or drag button or push button, you know, I think it's going to be tough for a defense to handle our lineup up and down. 1 through 9. So I think, you know, having guys like Ike that can put the ball in the ballpark, but also his next AB, he could come up and push bunt. So it's important that we continue to play our game and, you know, let our maturity and our game do the talking.
Now the tomorrow night you guys go up to UAB. Talk about the importance of these midweek ball games.
Yeah, they're huge. I think we have a pretty good midweek record so far this year. So I think it's going to be very important to continue to take advantage of these opportunities we have in the midweeks, and, you know, go. And UAB is a solid club. I mean, I think our midweek clubs that we've been playing are all solid. So, you know, they're not gonna make it easy on us, and, you know, so we're gonna have to go up there and play our game and, you know, put our head in the mitt and, you know, be able to continue to put the barrel on the ball and, you know, score more runs than them. So that's what we're focused on right now.
And, you know, and of course you were here last year when Auburn once again had a really good record against those the midweek teams, and that is a factor when you're fighting for postseason and you've got 21 more conference games as well as these midweek games. Every one of those games you win against this quality midweek competition is going to help you as you try to battle for postseason spots.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, last year in conference play, we were in a similar situation. I think we were 4-8 or 5-10 at one point, mm-hmm. and you know, things started to turn around for us. So I think once we can get on the good side of a couple roles, I think you know, things could turn around big for us. And I think it's important that you know, the team keeps fighting, and really just because you never know what's going to happen in baseball.
Yeah, Brian Matthews of AuburnSports.com is here in the studio, and he was pointing out that yeah, it's exactly where you were last year at 5-5 yep. and 10 before going on to win, you know, 12 of your last 15. So I mean, there is time. You've got a Tennessee team that, man, they swing it coming in as well. Hope, man, looks like the weather is okay, maybe a little cooler this weekend, but there could be some fireworks, it looks like, offensively this weekend with these two squads.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Tennessee, it's a great club they got, and, you know, they're playing good baseball right now. I think, yeah, their lineup's as dangerous as anybody in the country. So, you know, it's important for our guys to go out there on the mound and compete, you know, and fight like we have all year. And in the box, I think, you know, be able to play our game, like I said earlier, and, you know, just have the confidence going in that, you know, even though we're on a rough stretch right now, I think everybody in our locker room knows how good we could be and knows how important that, you know, it is to get these things rolling. So, yeah, I think we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking about a little earlier, I mean, and I know, I mean, so much of baseball is mental. I mean, obviously, you've got to be able to do it physically. But I really think that sometimes I feel like some of the pitchers may be pressing a little bit, knowing that they need to go out and get that, try to put that goose egg up after you guys score a little bit, and just hopefully they can relax, get that taken care of, because the talent's there. I mean, you can see it in a lot of the arms.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that, you know, when our pitching staff is on, it's one of the best staffs in the country. You know, we saw it all fall and all spring leading up to it. There were stretches in our inter squad games where we couldn't score runs. So we all know that it's there, and they all know that it's there too. And I think they just need to, you know, take a step back and, you know, reset their minds. But, you know, we have all the confidence in the world in our staff. And I know Coach Thompson does, and Coach Tiford, you know, they're going to continue to do a great job with them. And I think, yeah, then just getting that confidence back and, you know, knowing that they're here for a reason, and knowing that they're an SEC pitching staff, and, you know, that they're good enough to do all of it. So, yeah, I think that, you know, the position players have all the confidence in the world in them, and vice versa, the staff has all the confidence in the lineup. So, you know, I think it's just putting those two together at the same time to, you know, really put a good ball game together and win a couple games.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray here on the Monday edition of The Drive with Tiger Takes. Coop, one of the things I really like seeing, I was talking about, you know, taking the ball where it's pitched, being able to drive the ball the other way. You and Ike, I mean, Ike, we saw it a lot of last year. Seeing you do a little bit more of that this year, is there anybody, is there any hitter that you sort of pattern yourself after, or you've, you know, you like what you see when you're watching them bat that you've tried to take some things from?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple. I mean, I would say Ike is one of them. I mean, that at bat that he had on Friday night that ended with the grand slam was one of the more impressive at bats I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I've never seen him look fooled on a couple pitches, but foul him off, and then his ability to reset his mind and, you know, get a fastball up in the zone and drive it 450 feet or whatever it was. That was very impressive. But from the major league standpoint, I would say I'm a big Corey Seager fan.
Oh yeah,
just because he's a big lefty, and you know, his ability to drive the ball out to left center field and over the batter's eye has kind of, I've been watching his highlights, so kind of just being able to realize that I'm, you know, I'm good enough to hit the ball where it's pitched, and just kind of take it one pitch at a time and try to win as many pitches as I can.
One of the things I like about that is generally that means you're waiting a little bit, you know, and making sure that you're hitting it right there as it's, you know, as it's coming across the plate wherever it is. You're able to wait a little longer, because if not, if you get out in front of it a little bit, you're going to roll over the top, and it's just going to, you know, going to roll it to the right side.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, I had a couple stretches last season where that was my big problem. So, you know, really just focusing on, you know, being able to use the whole side of the field and be able to, you know, be okay with the single to left and not have to hit the 440-foot homer to right every time. So I think it's very important that, you know, you evaluate yourself as a hitter, but also, you know, those guys are in the big leagues because for a reason. So I think being able to watch video and watch highlights is one of the more important things that you could do as a hitter.
Well, it's really cool. I mean, it's very impressive with the pair of big lefty bats with you and Ike there in the lineup. Not taking anything away from any of the other guys, but I mean, you got a pretty good competition there going there in the power numbers between you two.
Yeah, it's a fun thing that we got going on in the locker room. He hit one, and then I hit one, and he said, "You know, you could have let me catch up to you," and I just said, "I can't do that." You know, but I'm extremely proud of Ike and all the work he's put in. I mean, he's a freak, so it's awesome to watch him hit the ball and, you know, him play his game really. And he's been catching amazing. So I think that his maturity as a overall player has been awesome to see.
Well, it's fun watching both of you and everybody swing the bats. That's what I relate to a whole lot more than pitching anyway. But it's crazy. Both my sons were pitchers, but I never understood that. But yeah, we really appreciate it. It's great spending a little time with you. Should be great crowds with A-Day weekend this weekend with Tennessee coming in.
Yeah, we need that. I think, you know, the crowd we had on Saturday against Arkansas was a big reason that we were able to pull that game off. So, you know, yeah, I'm hoping that the students come out and all the fans come out and support us.
Looking forward to it. Thanks again, Cooper. Really appreciate you spending time with us each week.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys very much. Hope you all had a good Easter.
All right, you too. That's Cooper McMurray joining us each Monday with Tiger Takes, presented by the Alsobrook Law Group, on the web at alsolaw.com. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Monday Drive.
Uncle T-Bone here. Do you want
ESPNAU.com? To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
All right, we are back. Bill is on the phone, so me and Coach Dunn are just going to roll with it. Do we have any callers?
Yeah, we don't.
Okay. Well, there he is. He's back.
Yeah.
I brought us back.
Sorry about that phone. Yeah. Well, good. Good. Well, see, I don't even need to be here.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
No,
we
yeah.
looked at each other like, what do we do?
See, well, Drew, that's Drew's job. Drew should point at somebody and go, you're on. There we go.
He is cool.
He's always cool. Yeah. All right, we've got a few minutes left here on the Monday edition of The Drive. No, what I was going to let you do, Brian, I mean, what you could have done, since we haven't done it earlier, I was going to let you talk about what all's going on there at AuburnSports.com. I mean, we were talking about so many different things happening, but you guys will be covering some, and I know it's going to be a big week as far as getting ready for A-Day with football.
It will. We'll talk to Coach Fries tomorrow, do our podcast, the rundown. We'll get players again Thursday. I would expect this will be a very big recruiting week for Auburn.
You know it.
A-Day will be a big draw for players, and I do think there's some players getting close to committing. So I think Auburn has 9 commitments now. Would not be surprised if they get to double digits at some point early next week. And, of course, baseball, they got UAB. We talked to Cooper about that. And then Tennessee coming to town. Softball.
Tennis.
Basketball.
Yeah, basketball recruiting.
I mean, there is really a lot going on this time of year.
And I do think we'll have some portal information on basketball soon. They're trying to be really careful about letting things get out. But I think there will be some news coming up here within the next 4 or 5-ish days. We'll see.
Wouldn't you think that that Bruce Pearl and his staff would really like to have – they'd like to know what Jani Broome's going to do very soon? I mean,
yeah.
Auburn can't afford to have it drag on like it did a year ago. I mean, just think the shape Auburn would have been in had Jani decided not to come back.
Oh, yeah. They would have gone out and tried to find a five, but you don't know who that would have been.
Right. You don't know who's around by that time because right. everybody else is trying That's to right. get their players now.
But fortunately, Jani can't go through the NBA draft process right. again, so it will be a fairly quick decision. Would not be surprised if it happens at some point this week. I mean, he knows he should have a pretty good idea of where he stands as far as the NBA draft and as far as the package that Auburn has presented to him if he wants to return. So it's just down to him and his family what they want to do.
So, yeah, so people need to everybody needs to keep up with everything.
Check us out, auburnsports.com. I did my Monday musings today.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to see today's. What do we have?
Well, it's been 16 years since YouTube Rickrolled everybody by putting Rick Astley's.
Yes, which is still so very popular on the bunker.
Yes.
I swear, it seems like not just April Fool's, by the way, which today we made it through the show without any of that.
Exactly. So I sort of did the history of that, where it came from and all that, you know, Rickrolling, if you're familiar with the term. And then I talked a little bit about the future of the NCAA tournament. It certainly seems like most people who should know believe it's going to expand.
It's
going to
expand.
I'm not for that. I like it just the way
about
it is.
But I still think it's the most entertaining postseason that you have.
Absolutely. I mean, March Madness is March Madness. It really is terrific. And talked a little bit more about, you know, is the NCAA going to stay in charge of the tournament, or is the SEC/Big Ten going to wedge their way in there and take control of it? We'll see.
That's going to be a little tougher to do, I think, than with football.
Oh, it would be, because you know, football is already controlled by the conferences postseason, whereas that's not the case with NCAA. But then again, a lot has changed. I mean, fundamental things in the sport have changed just over the last 3 or 4 years. So I wouldn't rule that out as a possibility. Certainly, that the SEC and Big Ten are going to have a lot of bargaining power if it comes to that. But you can get that at auburnsports.com. You can follow me on Twitter/X and Threads at BMATAU.
Great stuff. Thanks again, Brian. Really, really appreciate you being in. And I hope you recover from the from the incident.
The lawnmower incident? Yeah, I'm good.
Wait, you know,
everything's intact.
You've got to see. Brian looks like he's come through a prize fight.
So. Well, I've joked with everybody that I smarted off to my wife one too many times.
Yeah.
Or that
fortunately, that is an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, that is. Or that I took a knee in my over 50 MMA club fighting. But of course, I think if you look at me, you know better than that, right?
No, man, it's good. I like it sort of makes you look, even tougher.
Tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I like
there
it.
You go.
Looking
tough is not something I hear a lot of. So any chance I get the opportunity to I hear that. That's good.
And Don, thanks a lot. Yeah, I will let you know. We'll figure it out after after Dan's Troy game tonight.
Yeah.
You know what their schedule is.
Thank
Appreciate you being in again.
Thank you.
All right. We're out of time here on the Monday Drive. Appreciate all of our callers and listeners. Cooper McMurray joining us as well. But we don't have any more time for today. Don't know who all will be here tomorrow. I'm planning on it, so hope you will be as well. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.